Let us first listen to God's holy law and sing in response Psalter 389, stanzas 1 and 3. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Scripture reading for this morning's worship service is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 25. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from this Psalm, Psalm 25, verse 11, where David prays, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." In our prayer this morning, we will remember especially Michaelin Hines, who will be undergoing surgery this week. Let us pray. Unto thee we come in this morning, our Lord, to give thanks that thou hast brought us here together in this house of worship, that thou hast spared our lives, and that becomes especially important when we think of what might have been, when we think of the terrible floodwaters that devastated parts of Alberta, particularly also the city of Calgary and other areas nearby. Then we see thy greatness in nature. Thou dost speak to us not only through thy word, but also through the elements, and we are reminded again of how powerless we are over against those elements. This time it was water, with rivers overflowing, devastating many homes, many properties have sustained tremendous losses. Some lives were lost, not many, but still some, and there is grief in those families. But there are also many who are going through difficult times, having been evacuated, and there is so much work involved in the cleanup and the damage that is so high, and for many people it will be a really heavy burden. But in this we may see again, and should see again, who thou art in thy power, in thy justice, in thy righteousness, for thou has a purpose for all these things, whether it is tornadoes or hurricanes, earthquakes or floods. It is thou who art speaking to us, but who is listening? We are afraid that for the most part people attribute this disaster to what they call Mother Nature. There are so few that recognize thy hand in it. May we be among them, Lord, that we may realize that thou art God and we are but men, sinful creatures who deserve only thy wrath and thy judgment as a nation, as a people. But we have to add also as a church, for we too have often been so unfaithful to thy cause, to thy word. We are so often like the world, and we talk a lot about the weather without realizing who is behind it all. But in thy wrath, Lord, thou hast remembered mercy. Thou hast spared so many, and it could have been so much worse. May it lead us to humble ourselves before thee and to repent of our sins, also on behalf of our nation. For we read in thy word that Daniel, though himself a very God-fearing man, he still included himself when he says, we have sinned, we have transgressed thy commandments. O Lord, wilt thou then remember us in grace, forgiving all our sins, as we have heard thy law this morning again, pointing out those commandments, those precepts which we are to keep, and we realize, Lord, we have not kept them, certainly as we should have, for thou dost require us to love thee above all and our neighbor as ourself, and that everything we do has to be motivated by love, and that is to be the great concern of our life, and yet we confess that it isn't that. And we have to confess also this morning that we have transgressed thy commandments in thoughts and in words and in deeds. But we plead thy mercy. We pray for the grace of repentance, the grace of faith, that we may truly acknowledge our sins before thee and also trust in thy forgiving grace, which thou hast revealed in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has earned salvation and forgiveness for all those who turn to thee with contrite hearts, with broken spirits, and whose only hope is and whose pleading ground is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, remember the congregation that is assembled here. Thou knowest the needs there are, and many of us have come with great needs. We think of the parents of Michaelen Hines, who is in the hospital awaiting surgery this week. Lord, thou hast laid such a heavy burden on the little girl, but also on her loved ones. And we pray that when the surgery will take place this week, that thou wilt guide the hand of the surgeons and that thou wilt cause good to come out of it. Thou art almighty, and we trust that thou wilt do whatever is right in thy eyes. But may it be, Lord, that something can be done for the little girl's foot and that she may still recover. And may all these things bring all those concerned, and that should be all of us, closer unto thee to realize our dependence upon thee, that thou alone art God and that thou art the one who is to be feared and to be trusted, that we may go to thee, O Lord, with all of our needs, physical or spiritual or both, for thou art the only one who can help us in our need. Remember all the sick and shut-ins of the congregation, the elderly, the widows and widowers, and all who lead lonely lives. Wilt thou be the comfort of those who are in special circumstances, with needs that maybe others are not aware of, but thou knowest all things. And so we pray that we may take seriously thy word when thou dost say, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. What a gracious covenant God thou art, that thou art ready to forgive not only, but also to give us all that we need for time and for eternity. Strength to do our work, but also that we may be able to serve Thee and to love Thee. All these graces are to be found in Thee alone, and Thou wilt grant them to us by Thy Holy Spirit, if only we seek Thee and come to Thee with all those things that we stand in need of. Remember the congregation with the consistory and the pastor and his family who have left here for a while, who, as we trust, have safely arrived in the Netherlands. Be with them wherever they will go and their travels, and bring them back at the appointed time. We pray for Thy church universal. We pray for the work of missions in Guatemala and in many other places, as Thy servants bring that gospel of peace to a world that is suffering, that is in periods of great affliction, violence, and death through wars and revolutions that are raging in the Middle East and in other places. O Lord, may Thy gospel reach those who are in great need. We think of the many, many people that have died as a result of that revolution in Syria. We hear of 90,000 people, including many children. Lord, unspeakable crimes are committed. Oh, wilt Thou cause an end to come to that fight, that conflict, and that those people there may once again lead normal lives. But even then, they still need that gospel of salvation. Bless the Christians there who are being persecuted, but maybe through their testimony and their witness, they may show forth Thy grace and Thy love. Lord, we have so many needs, and we lift up our hearts unto Thee, and we pray that Thou wilt grant us all those things that we require and that we cannot do without Thy grace, Thy mercy. Bless Thy servant this morning as he will bring Thy word to this congregation. Use him and grant that through the words that will be spoken, many hearts may be touched, lives changed, Thy people built up in the faith, and the unconverted, that they may be turned unto Thee. We ask all these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Beloved congregation, it is indeed a pleasure and privilege that myself and my wife may be with you for a few weeks. We trust and pray that the Lord will help us to bring His word, and that we may be blessed by it. Psalm 25, which is the chapter that we have read and from which our text is taken, has always been a most favorite text with the Lord's people throughout the ages. And for that reason, and for what reason? Well, it is because it describes so well the experience of God's people. The poet was David. He is pictured here in a great variety of mental states and conditions. We hear him confessing his sins. We hear him fighting depression, crying for mercy, trusting in God, praying for help against his enemies, singing God's praises. In other words, everything that goes on in the life of a Christian is found in this psalm. It is evident that when you read this text in the context of the psalm, but also in other psalms, that it is a competition of David's later years. Because he mentions, for instance, the sins of youth. By this time, he is an older man. And when he remembers the things he has done also as a young person, then he feels still the burden of guilt, even though they have been forgiven, but he cannot forgive himself. And from its many references to his enemies, we may perhaps conclude that this psalm was probably written during or after the period of Absalom's rebellion. that it was indeed a time of great trouble for David is indicated, for example, by verses 15 and following. For there David says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." He's talking about a net that had been spread by his enemies, hoping that he will fall into it. "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." Yes, his eyes are ever towards the Lord. Not only was David in trouble, but he evidently felt